Hey, welcome back to another edition of the Soccer Specialist Podcast. And today we're going to continue the conversation that we had last episode when we talked about the importance of preparation for overall success, but also just in building your confidence and how preparation is the foundation of confidence and success. You can do all these other mental drills and exercises and things like that, but the thing that's really going to make the most difference is how you prepare for your games, how you prepare during practice, how you prepare outside of practice, right? And then understanding that consistency in that preparation. Consistency is the foundation of preparation, I should say. And habits and discipline in preparing, they're the foundation of consistency. And you put those two together, and good things are going to happen for you. And there's a quote I saw from Harry Kane not that long ago that I thought was really good, where he said, all those training sessions alone in the rain doing stuff others weren't, that was a difference maker in terms of my physical abilities and doing what I've done in my career. And I think if you really take a second to let that sink in and you understand how important that is, because I'm guessing most players playing at the highest levels, if not all of them, can probably say something similar. That it's, I know Cruyff used to say it as well when he talked about how he spent 4 hours a week, you know, at the academy in team training, and 4 hours a day out playing pickup. And, you know, which one do you think was the most important for his development? So it really is the things you're going to do outside of your team training that's going to matter the most. And we went into some of those things I talked about in terms of preparation, what you need to do to train like a successful soccer player and become a successful soccer player. And we talked about, you know, I broke it down into I think seven different areas. We talked about the first one because it went kind of long. So focus, intensity, and mental engagement. And then we have technical skills. You're being physically fit, you know, your soccer-specific conditioning. It amazes me how many young soccer players are out of shape, so they can't even bring their technical skills into play, really, because they're just too tired. Your strength training, which is, you know, your speed, strength, power, agility, explosiveness, quickness, all that. Put all that into strength training because that's like the foundation of all of those other attributes. Your nutrition, of course, and your smarts, you know, your soccer IQ and your tactical skills. So I want to start with the second one. We talked about the focus and the mental engagement. So in terms of technical skills training, right, all youth players in America train, I'd say the vast majority train 2 times a week with their team. As they get older, or maybe they play at a higher level, they might train 3 times. I know there are a few that even train 4, but typical is 2. And it's typical to go 1 to 2 hours in each session. I think standard's probably 90 minutes. And so everybody does that. So what are you going to do that's going to set you apart in terms of your technical ability? Are you going to train on your own? I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? Your preparation. So hopefully you are. Because if you're unwilling to do something outside of your team training, you're really, I won't say you're not going to go anywhere, but you're going to go basically as far as your talent is going to take you, and then you're going to hit a wall, and other players with just as much talent and those with less talent who work a lot harder are going to surpass you. I'm guessing that's not you. You probably not be listening to this podcast. So that's just the way it is. And the most important thing you can do, when I talk about preparation being the foundation of confidence building, you know, mastering the ball at your feet is the foundation of everything else that you can do in soccer. Okay, so, you know, when you master that ball, when you have such a comfort level with the ball at your feet that you don't worry about pressure, you don't worry about being even having maybe 2 players on you, because you know that you can at least keep the ball enough to find a space to deliver a pass to a teammate. You know, and so when you have that comfort level with the ball, everything else about the game becomes easier. You're no longer going to get rid of it quickly or blindly in a panic. You're not just going to boot it or kick it. You're going to play more confidently. There's that word again, right? You're going to make better decisions because everything about the game kind of slows down for you when you're comfortable with the ball at your feet. You're not worried about a defender coming at you. You're not worried about it being taken away. And so you give yourself more time. You give yourself more space by having good ball control. Defenders who at young ages, right, I think we all know this, defenders at young ages, aggressive, fast defenders are very good because they just run right at the player with the ball. And more often than not, they either make the player kick it away and turn it over, or they run into a tackle and they take it from them. As they get older and the players that do work on their technical skills and their ability with the ball, if a defender just rushes at them, they're just going to take a touch in either direction and go by them and make the defender look silly, right? So defenders have to adjust. And when they realize you're one of those players with the ball at your feet, they're not going to rush you. So they're going to give you more time. They're going to give you more space to make plays in, you know, the passing game as well, or for you to go and attack at the defender instead of the defender attacking at you. So you're going at them at speed, gives you a big, big advantage. So you must get comfortable with the ball at your feet, because that's the only way you're going to become the player you want to be, is by spending time with the ball on your own. And then you use, you know, whether it's pickup or in team training sessions and in games, that's where you're going to take those technical skills and be able to transfer them to playing live against defenses, right? It's a balance. You need both. So I highly recommend, by the way, if you don't have it, to get a program like Impact Total Touch Training, okay, which you can go to impactsoccerperformance.com/impactt3. Check that out. You can get touches on the ball for, you know, 10 to 30 minutes a day. It's all laid out for you. It's going to make a world of difference in your confidence. Getting physically fit, conditioning. We're going to dive into this. It might be the only next one we do, and then I'll might end up turning this into a part three. We'll see. But look, doing soccer-specific conditioning at the very youngest of ages, it's probably optional. Especially, you know, you're playing 7v7. The fields aren't that big, especially if you're an active kid already at that age. But as you get a little older, as players start to hit puberty, as they get through middle school, you know, you get to bigger pitches, you're playing more competitively, so there's a lot more intensity in the games. There's more high intensity sprints, especially when players are getting close to moving up to 11v11. You're going to want to add some soccer specific conditioning to your training, at least in the off season, the preseason. And I know that's not a lot for a lot of players, but at some point in the summer heading into your fall or winter heading into spring, you definitely want to add at least a month of soccer-specific conditioning. Because, look, soccer's a nonstop sport, right? I mean, it's not like all those other sports where you get, what, basketball? Especially if you play college or pro and they're televised, you get, what, 4 timeouts per team. Four TV timeouts per half. It's like, my goodness, when do you actually play, right? You get all those breaks during free throws, the ball goes out of bounds, you get all those breaks because the ref has to hand the ball to the player, he waits for everybody to be set. You don't have that in soccer. You know what I'm talking about. It's a much different challenge. It's a much, you know, football, you run a play for 5 seconds and then you get a 40-second play clock. I mean, even with the out of bounds in soccer, right, and the free kicks, the game doesn't stop. I mean, there's that rare occasion on free kick where, you know, you ask for the 10 yards because it's important what you're trying to do, and so the ref will walk it off and then blow a second whistle. But other than that, the game doesn't stop. You know, you kick the ball out of bounds, you get to relax and catch your breath for as long as the other team gets the ball and throws it back in, right? The referee does not hand the ball on a player a ball on a throw-in like in basketball. Like I said, it's not 4 seconds of action or 5 seconds of action followed by 40 seconds of nothing like American football. I mean, you may have just sprinted 60 yards only to see a teammate kick the ball out or pass to someone else. And now you got to get back. You can't stop and recover. Take, you know, 5 or 6 deep breaths because the other team may throw the ball in immediately, or your teammate may have tried to pass to someone else or to you that was a turnover, and the other team's counterattacking. You've got to get back and play defense. And so, because it's amazing when we get to, like, you know, U12, U13, higher levels, amaze me how often I see the promising young players, good players, who don't look good in games because they can't keep up conditioning wise. You know, they can't even be out there for a 5 or a 10 minute stretch on the field because they're just not in shape for it. They make one long sprint and that's it. They can't sprint back. And you know, you just, it's anyone who's played a competitive game and has not been in shape knows how brutal that is, right? Not fun. And then as matches progress, even for fit players a lot, right? Everything fatigues. I mean, you know, you're going to get slower physically. You're going to start making mistakes mentally because you're exhausted physically. You take bad touches. You make bad decisions. You know, you stop checking your shoulder. You stop making runs that you should make. You don't take the two quick steps you need to take to receive the ball properly or to give your teammate a better angle to be open. And maybe they turn the ball over, but it was your fault because you were too tired to take two steps, right? Your overall game suffers because of it. And so, and also as you move up in age, you move to bigger pitches, you're playing, you know, you and the teams you're playing are all getting better, and maybe you're even moving up to play better teams, the speed of play also gets faster. The game itself gets faster. And so your technical skills, your soccer IQ, they need to level up too. But if you aren't fit, none of that's going to matter because you're not going to be able to match the speed of play. Your performance is going to suffer. Your confidence is going to suffer because the truth is, I don't know who said it originally, but it's something I've heard a lot. Fatigue makes cowards of us all, right? And it's 100% true. So, I mean, look, if you want to see your confidence crumble, try playing a competitive match against a good team when you aren't physically prepared to do so. Your confidence will be sky high, however, when you know you've put in the work and you can run all day. You're not going to have to worry about getting too tired. So, and again, on that note, I would definitely recommend checking out Dominate Game Day on Amazon if you haven't already. I know a lot of you already have it. 4-week conditioning program. You also get lots of touches on the ball, so it's also going to help with your technical skills. I'm going to leave it there. Oh, if you haven't, I think I've only done one podcast since it's launched, but Chasing Greatness Mental Performance Training, available now on Amazon, Kindle, paperback, hardback, audiobook. It's all there. Go to thesoccerspecialist.com/chasing. You'll see the links for it there on Amazon. I really think you ought to check it out. Put a lot of time and effort. It's been a labor of love. It's a topic I've been wanting to tackle for a long time because just in my experience as a coach and questions I get from a lot of you. I mean, you know, the whole questions about confidence are probably the most common questions I get. So I'm going to leave it there. Once again, I thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. I thank you for those who are building up the new Facebook group. I love and appreciate that you share these things, that you give, you know, I think we have like 118, 119 ratings on the Spotify podcast now. It's got over 3,100 followers. This past week, by the way, last thing before I let you go, we finally hit 1,000 subs on YouTube. Woohoo! It's like a legit channel now. So thanks again. Really, really, really do appreciate it. I am going to leave it for there. We will continue in the next podcast to get through this list. You know, I have a tendency to talk. Have a great rest of the week, and I will talk to you later.